2 Corinthians chapter 9 this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Say, Pastor, we were in this chapter during the month of October more than once. I know. With Thanksgiving coming up, Lord is led in this direction. There's a great verse here at the end of it. We're just going to read one verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And you may say, why are we going to stand for the reading of one verse? Well, we're going to stand in honor of God's word if you're willing and able to, and we're going to let you stretch because you're going to be sitting down for the next 2 hours. So some of you are like, nope, I'm walking out. My clock is set. I've already got my alarm. Well, you're one of those people. Okay. Because the Bible says thou shalt stop preaching at 12 o'clock. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15. Would you read it out loud with me? I didn't say ready, begin. Ready, begin. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Our God in heaven, Lord, we're grateful for the gift of salvation. And Lord, it is important for us to be reminded of this. And I'm thankful for the house of God. We were gathered together with your people. I'd say for the most part, most, if not all, are saved here this morning. But we don't want to assume anything. As we saw last week, we saw a teen girl get saved after service. And we praise the Lord for that. Lord, today I pray that you would help us to consider how grateful we are for the gift of salvation, and also, Lord, even to challenge those who would be struggling with that. And then to live our lives in an attitude and gratitude, lifestyle of thankfulness for what you've done for us. But we look forward to what you're going to do. We need you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. You can be seated. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. There's much to be thankful for. In just a few days, we'll gather with our families. We'll celebrate Thanksgiving. In about 4 weeks, we'll be celebrating Christmas. And so I thought it appropriate, as we do each year, to reflect on this thought of the unspeakable gift that Paul mentioned here. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. As I said, there's much to be thankful for today. The truth is, if we began a list of things that we are thankful for, maybe I should say that we should be thankful for, it would be an unending list. Count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. And I want to mention a few things that we should be thankful for that we take for granted far too often this morning. Number one, I mentioned it, but point number one is this. There's much to be thankful for. Are you thankful for health today? Some of you are like, my health is struggling. See, we don't appreciate our health until it's deteriorating. I'm thankful for my every breath of life. I'm thankful for every day that is given me. You know, every day is a gift from God. Every breath of life is a gift from God. Every day God gives is a day that we ought to be thankful for. We're thankful for health. Are you thankful for your days? And by the way, every day that God has given to you, he has given to you for a purpose. Keep in mind that God's given you this day for a purpose. Lord willing, the Lord tarries, and you have a tomorrow, you have a Monday. I know we dread Mondays. But God, and most of you have to work this week, amen? But we ought to thank God for Monday. We ought to thank God for every day. And here's why. God has a purpose in your day. Realize that you don't wake up tomorrow and just think that it's just a day that God has no purpose for. No, he has intentions for you on that day. He's given me today so that I might serve him today. Too often we wake up in the morning with a mundane attitude. Same old, same old. I've got to get up. I've got to go to work again. Drift through the day with no purpose, with no accomplishment, no reason to keep going except the same thing the day before. Get up, go to work, come home, eat food, you know, whatever, and just and live for self. And we forget that God has given us this day for a purpose, and that purpose is to serve him. I'm thankful for my days. We ought to be reminded of that and remember that. Are you thankful for every breath of life? Are you thankful for every day that you have? Hey, are you thankful for salvation this morning? The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3 that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. As some men count slackness, but as long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So what that is telling me is that every day that the Lord does not return is another day, another opportunity for somebody to get saved. For the Christian here this morning, every day that the Lord does not return is a day where the Lord is showing his long-suffering to even us as Christians. Say, how is that? He's given you another day, another opportunity to get right with him. He's given you, even as a Christian, another day to repent. Not for your salvation. Once saved, always saved. You're saved. Amen? If you know Christ as your Savior. But he's given you another day to get right. Are you right today? Or were you right with God yesterday? No. He's given you today another opportunity to get right. Praise the Lord for that. He could have ended your life yesterday in your sin. He gave you another day to get right. Get right then. Thanks for that gift. I'm not going to take advantage of it. Nope, take advantage of it. Get right. For the unsaved, it's a day where God has given them another opportunity to be saved. And this morning, I know this is an assembly of believers, but if you don't know Christ as your Savior and heaven as your home, the fact that Jesus Christ has not returned yet today is God simply telling you that he's patient, that he's long-suffering towards you, and he has given you another opportunity to be saved. So, in other words, repent, get saved. For the saved, this morning, if you know Christ as your Savior, he's given you another opportunity to go to those who don't know Christ as your Savior. If you have tomorrow, do you think that might be part of God's purpose for your life, is to tell others about Christ? And so would that possibly be part of God's purpose for your day, maybe, to be a witness, to tell others about Christ? I would think so. And he's giving you another day to serve him. See, for me, I'm with Paul. I love this statement. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Come on! I'm ready. I'm ready to go home. I'm ready for heaven. But he said, "For to me to live is Christ. And to die is gain." There is another opportunity to serve God. Tomorrow when you wake up on Monday morning, it's not just another routine day. It's not the beginning of a long week. It's not a Monday that is meant to drag on. It is a day the Lord hath made. This is a day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank God for your day. It's a day that has purpose. It's a day that has opportunity. It's a day you are going to be working next to, talking to, standing next to somebody, living next to somebody nearby, conversing and around people who do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Thank God for those opportunities. Thank God for salvation. Thank God for health. Thank God for your every breath of life. Thank God for every day that he's given you to serve him. Thank God for your job that you can use to glorify God with. Come on, people. Thank God for a job. Thank God for income. Thank God for your finances, whatever they are. Learn to be content, as we talked about this morning, with such things as you have in the Sunday school hour. Thank God for your family. Wives, you can thank God for your husband. Husbands, you don't deserve it. So thank God for your wife. Thank God for your parents. Sometimes we don't realize what we have until they're taken away from us. Isn't that true? Thank God for your children. Thank God for a church family. Thank God for loved ones. Thank God for friends. There is much that we take for granted far too often. And there is much that we have to be thankful for. Paul mentions in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, that we need to be thankful. And there is much to be thankful for. But then I want you to notice this, that he mentions that we need to be thankful unto who? God. Thankful unto God. Talking about God Almighty. Someone else that we take for granted as well. See, God is the reason why you are here today. He is the reason why you exist. and why you have what you have to be thankful for. He is an almighty, omniscient, omnipresent God, all-sufficient, self-sufficient, self-existent. He's holy, he's righteous, omnipresent, omniscient, all-powerful, omnipotence. That's what that means, all-knowing. He is the one that provides. He is the one that controls. He is the one that orchestrates the circumstances of life. He is the creator of all things. And he is the one we need to be thankful to. We can be thankful for something. I'm glad I have this. I'm glad I have a job. I'm glad I have a car. I'm glad I have a house. But who are you thankful to? Are you thankful to yourself because you worked hard to get it? Are you thankful to God because he enabled you to get it? You got to remember who you're thankful to. Go to James 1, 17, please. James chapter 1, verse 17. We read it this morning in the Sunday school hour. Or I quoted it in the Sunday school hour. James 1, 17. The Bible says, there every good gift and every perfect gift is from my own doing, my own work, my own planning and ambitions, my overtime hours, my abilities and my gifts and my intellect, and I'm just all that in a box of chocolates. No, everything you've got, every good gift and every perfect gift is from where? Above, and cometh down from the Father of lights. Quit taking credit for the blessings you've got. It's an insult to God when you do that. With whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. I didn't come to him, he came to me. That we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So we already mentioned several things, and we could mention several more. And for each individual, each one of us, we have different things that we are thankful for that may not relate to others. But I want to focus the rest of the time this morning on, more than anything else, on the unique way that Paul described this gift that we're to be thankful for. We've already mentioned it in salvation, and we're all thankful for salvation. Amen. Thankful we're saved this morning. But I want to consider why Paul might have described this gift in the way that he did. Paul said, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. I think we all know what gift he's talking about here. Chapter 8, in context with this verse that we preached about in October. Paul had just finished encouraging the Corinthians to give. He talked about how the Macedonians had given far above what was expected of them. And they'd given themselves, their lives to God. And it was expected of us to do the same thing. And that Paul would, or God would provide, give to them bountifully so that they could give to the work of the Lord. And Paul's encouraging the Corinthians and us to give as the Macedonians give. But here in chapter 9, I believe Paul goes beyond talking about giving financially, but of giving of ourselves and giving of our lives and giving of our talents and giving of our hearts, keeping in mind all that God has given us. Because we can never outgive God. And you can never do too much for God. Don't get this mindset that I've done too much for the Lord. It's impossible. No, it is literally impossible to do too much for God. It's impossible to serve him too much. Our problem is never, I've served God too much, but somehow we think we've done enough for the Lord. When I consider all that God has done for me and all that I've done for God, I still find that I owe a debt that cannot be measured. And that's why Paul said, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. I want to remember why this gift is unspeakable. That's the unique way that he said it. He said it's an unspeakable gift. Let's remember why this gift is unspeakable this morning. I want to say this, that this is an unspeakable gift because it's indescribable. Why did he use this word unspeakable? There's no better word. It's an indescribable gift. Even though it's something you've heard since you were a child in Sunday school, it's still, let's be honest, salvation is beyond our comprehension. We can't fathom it. Eternal life is something that is unutterable. It is indescribable. It's incomprehensible. Look at 1 Peter 1, verse 12, please. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. Where the Bible says here, unto whom it was revealed, that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Bible talks how in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12, this concept of salvation is something that even the angels desire to look into. It's not something that relates to them in the manner that it relates to us. I'm not good with words. I've never heard anybody describe salvation in such an eloquent way that can grasp the meaning of it. But Peter is saying here, a salvation is such a wonderful thing that even the angels are like, wow, that's something amazing. They're looking into it. They don't get to experience this that we get to experience, but it is an amazing thing. Somebody said salvation is altogether the gift of God, and you cannot fully estimate the value of what God gives. See, it's an unspeakable gift because it's indescribable. Number two, it's an unspeakable gift because I'm undeserving. I'm undeserving. Isaiah 64:6 tells us that our works are as what? Filthy rags. Isaiah chapter 6 tells me that I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. Woe is me. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Paul, arguably the greatest missionary that ever lived, called himself the chiefest of what? Sinners. We're all different in here. Everyone has different backgrounds, personalities, education, income, looks, intellect, temperaments, families, different likes, different dislikes. But there's one area where all of us are on equal footing, one area where we are all on equal ground, and that is this, that we do not deserve salvation. The reason Paul said this gift is unspeakable is because we're undeserving of it. We're undeserving. If we want to talk about what we deserve a place called hell. I deserve to burn for an eternity in a devil's hell. That's what I deserve. I don't deserve this unspeakable gift. When this passing world is done, when has sunk yon glaring sun, when I stand with Christ in glory, looking o'er life's finished story, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. When I stand before the throne, dressed in beauty not my own, when I see thee as thou art, love thee with unsinning heart, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. It's an unspeakable gift because it's indescribable, it's undeserving. And number three and two are kind of related, but it's unspeakable because I can't earn it. And not only am I undeserving of it, but I can't earn this gift. That's why I don't deserve it, because I can't earn it. Nobody can earn this. Romans 3:23, you know the verses, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is what? Death. Romans 3:10, there is none righteous, no, not one. I've fallen short. I've sinned. We already mentioned that our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in God's eyes. And you move and talk about what we deserve. That's what we deserve. We deserve eternal damnation in the lake of fire. Yet God has given us this gift. See, is it making sense now why this is an unspeakable gift? We take it for granted. I take it for granted far too often. God, help me to appreciate this gift of salvation in the manner that Paul is talking about here. We've got to remember on a day-to-day basis, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. This is an unspeakable gift. It's a gift of God. And I'm glad I don't have to earn my way to heaven, because I wouldn't be able to earn my way to heaven. Number four, it's unspeakable because it required a perfect sacrifice. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, please. 2 Corinthians 5, 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. See, I was unrighteous, Romans 3:10. There's none righteous. But because of Jesus Christ, I've been made the righteousness of God in him. Again, we've established that I'm not perfect, but Christ is. You're not perfect, but Jesus is. And it took a perfect sacrifice upon a tree to provide this gift of salvation. Go to Hebrews 9, please. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats. Again, we're talking about it required a perfect sacrifice for you to have this gift. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once unto the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. If for the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, you were saved. By means of death, there was redemption. For the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. You see, I'm saying it required a perfect sacrifice for you to have this gift. Literally, God sent his son. He gave his son, his precious son. Imagine you giving your child for the life of somebody else. That is a precious gift. And you would be very grateful if your life or your child's life was saved because of somebody else's life. We can't articulate this. We can't put it into words how awesome this gift is. That's why Paul said it's unspeakable, because it literally required someone to die so you could go to heaven. You deserve to die. You deserve to spend eternity in hell. You can't get there. You can't earn it. You're hopeless. You're a wretch. You're dead in your trespasses and sins. You don't deserve heaven, but God provided heaven for you by his son, the death of his son, Jesus Christ, on Calvary's cross. That's how much he loves you. Pastor, I know. I've heard this since I was in kindergarten. Are you grateful? Does your life show that you're grateful? Do we live in a way that tells God we're grateful, that tells others we're grateful? Verse 22 of Hebrews 9 says, without shedding of blood is no remission. Thank God we don't need the blood of bulls and goats any longer. Amen. For it is the blood of the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. It's an unspeakable gift because it's indescribable, it's undeserving, it's impossible to earn. And number five, it's unspeakable because it results in everlasting life. Praise God for that. Amen. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Hebrews 9, if you're still there, look what it says. Verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place. See, he died once. I get saved once, right? I don't have to get saved again and again. Jesus didn't die again and again. But he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained, what's that word? Are you looking there? Hebrews 9:12. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Eternal. Don't let anybody tell you you can lose your salvation. You can't. It's eternal redemption. If I could lose my salvation, it wouldn't be eternal. It'd be temporary redemption. And then it would also be just contrary. That's an oxymoron to the word redemption. I'm not redeemed if I'm all of a sudden losing my salvation. It's eternal. This is why it's an unspeakable gift, because it results in everlasting life. Verse 15 of the same chapter. Look at chapter 9, verse 15. For this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called, those who are saved, might receive the promise of, what's that word? Eternal inheritance. Eternal inheritance. I'm adopted. Hallelujah. I am now a child of God. And as a child of God, I get that inheritance. Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. That's something to be thankful for. Chapter 10 of Hebrews. Look at verse 10. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. You need some verses that show that salvation is eternal. Salvation is never ending. Salvation can't be lost. Salvation is secure. That you have an eternal home. You've got some right here in Hebrews 9 and 10. Once for all. This gift is unspeakable because it results in everlasting life. And then close with this. I've made this statement before. This gift is unspeakable, yet we must speak about it. This gift is unspeakable, but we've got to speak about it. We've got to tell others. This is a gift that others can receive, that others can have. You have family members who need this gift of salvation, don't you? You have friends who need this gift of salvation. You're going to give gifts to your family members at Christmas. You're going to gather with friends and family, possibly at Thanksgiving time. And they need maybe some things. You're going to give them some things. Why don't you give them the gospel? Why don't you can give them a whole bunch of stuff, but if they die and go to devil's hell and you're in heaven, you've not tried to witness to them. The Bible says their blood's on your hands. Now listen, I don't want to give anybody a guilty conscience. If you've witnessed and you've witnessed and you've witnessed and they still refuse, listen, it doesn't mean don't stop trying, but the blood's not on your hands. You've tried, you put forth the effort. But listen, just keep witnessing. If they're still breathing and you're still breathing, you still have an opportunity to tell them about Jesus Christ. So just take advantage of the opportunities. It's not more important for me to give somebody a material gift than for me to give them a spiritual gift, or at least attempt to. Now, I know they're not going to refuse the money you're going to give them. They're not going to refuse the cool present that they asked for on their Amazon wish list. And they might refuse that gift of salvation, like they've done time and time again. Just try to give it to them anyways. Don't get mad. Don't get angry. Don't ruin your opportunity by your demeanor. But don't burn the bridge by your attitude. But just try to give them the gift one more time. And let the Holy Spirit work. Plant the seed. God waters. God gives the increase. Let them see the love of Christ in you. Let them see the patience of Christ. Yesterday in the soul winning challenge, we looked at Nicodemus, and this isn't the main point of that story, of course, but I just see a patience in Jesus Christ when he talked to Nicodemus. Nicodemus came with questions. Jesus answered patiently. Nicodemus goes, how can I be born again? I want to do that. That'd be neat. Or I don't know what, I mean, you know, I'm not sure 100% what his attitude was, but I don't see it as, you know, I've already entered my mother's womb once, or out of my mother's womb once, how am I going to do that again? But Jesus was patient, answered the question. And then Nicodemus came in again with another question. Jesus was patient. Give the gift of salvation. Go to Romans 1, if you would. We'll go to Romans 1, and John 20, verse 21, Jesus said this, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Do you hear that? Jesus said, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. So I'm sitting here as a Christian, and I'm just trying to picture Jesus speaking directly to me. Imagine him physically being right here. And he looks at all of us sitting here, and I would be sitting right there with you. I definitely would not be the one up here on the platform. And Jesus says, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Can you imagine his personality? Can you imagine his heart and his passion as if he was standing here and he was saying that vocally to you? It wouldn't sound like a suggestion, would it? It wouldn't come across as, if you got time. It wouldn't come across as, if it fits in your schedule and you feel like it's. He's saying, God sent me. And so I'm also sending you. We wouldn't take that as, well, that's okay for some Christians, not for others. We would take that as, that's a direct command from Jesus Christ himself. Would we not? We would. We would. If we're thankful for the gift of salvation, this unspeakable gift, we ought to, as Paul did, tell others about this unspeakable gift as well. We must speak about it. We must speak about it. Romans chapter 1, verse 14. Did all that talking and not turning. I am not a multitasker. I can't talk and turn at the same time. See, I'm still talking and I'm not finding it. Romans chapter 1. Paul said, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, all I've got, I am ready to preach the gospel to you there, to you that are at Rome also. Here we go. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Don't be ashamed that you're a Christian this morning. Don't be ashamed. Let others know. But he wasn't saying, in context, he's not saying, I'm not ashamed to tell people I love Jesus. It's not what he said. He didn't say, I'm not ashamed to tell people I'm a Christian. That's not what he said. I am not ashamed of the what? Gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The gospel is telling, is the means by which, it's good news. That's the gospel. It's good news. I'm not ashamed of the good news. It means I'm not ashamed to tell others about the good news. That's what he's saying. When you say, I'm a Christian, so do the Catholics. When you say, I'm a Christian, so do the Seventh-day Adventists. When you say, I'm a Christian, so do a lot of other people who claim the name of Christ. Saying I'm a Christian is not spreading the gospel. Saying I'm a Christian is not telling others that Jesus Christ died on the cross for the sins and rose again. Listen, when you tell others the gospel, you're telling them, Jesus died for you. It's an unspeakable gift. You can go to heaven. Let me tell you how. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God. It's the power of God. Do you know people who need the power of God this morning? Somebody said, "Oh, my brothers and sisters in Christ, if sinners will be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our bodies. And if they will perish, let them perish with our arms about their knees, imploring them to stay, and not madly to destroy themselves. If hell must be filled, let not one go there unwarned and unprayed for. Who do you need to speak to about this unspeakable gift? And are you thankful this morning for all the blessings God has given you, specifically this unspeakable gift that you've received? Because this unspeakable gift results in everlasting life. It's a perfect sacrifice. It's impossible to earn. We're undeserving, and it's an indescribable gift. That's why Paul said it's unspeakable."